Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. It is Thursday, February 9th of 2023, and this is Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. I am Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation Research Scientist. This February, in February of 2023, we have analysis and discussion of the Seven Trumpets Prophecy live on the internet broadcast on PGN Prophetic Grace Network every Sunday at 12 p.m. Central Time and on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Central Time. Let's hear the Seven Trumpets Prophecy reading from the New King James Version Translation. Here it is. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown up to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain, burning with fire, was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now, the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus, I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them." The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, "Go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth." So I went to the angel and said to him, "Give me the little book." And he said to me, "Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth." Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. And not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven, saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. That is the seven trumpets prophecy in its entirety. I want to share a brief summary prophecy. There are 12 statements of prophecy by my analysis in the book of Revelation. The seven trumpets prophecy follows the seven seals prophecy, which begins in chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. Then we have this prophecy that we just heard, the seven trumpets prophecy, which is followed by chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, wherein lies the 1,260 days prophecy. That's all of chapter 12. Let's hear succinctly the seven trumpets prophecy. After the sounding of the first trumpet, the action that follows is hail and fire with blood on the earth. After the sounding of the second trumpet, what follows is a great mountain of fire is lodged into the sea. After the sounding of the third trumpet, a great star, bitterness, falls from the sky onto the earth. After the sounding of the fourth trumpet, a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars are struck. Next, we have the sounding of the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets. Note that we're told that with the sounding of these trumpets is woe for those who remain on the earth. Some translations, like the New King James Version we just heard, uses the word woe. Some translations, like the New Living Translation, use the word terror. So there's a distinction made between those events that follow the first, second, third, and fourth trumpets and those that follow the sounding of the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets. So what happens, what's the action on the earth following the sounding of the fifth trumpet, where we have the first woe, a fallen star, which is an angel that follows Satan. A fallen star is given the key to the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is also referenced in the 1,000-year prophecy, in the millennial reign prophecy in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. Here, in the seven trumpets prophecy, we're told that after the sounding of the fifth trumpet, one of the fallen angels, a fallen star, is given the key to the bottomless pit. After the sounding of the sixth trumpet follows the second terror, and the action on the earth is that four angels bound at the Euphrates River are turned loose to kill one-third of the people on earth. After the sounding of the seventh trumpet, we're told that the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. Now, when does the world become the kingdom of our Lord? It is after his second coming. At the first coming, he came as the Lamb of God. At his second coming, he comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He wages a war in righteousness, the Battle of Armageddon. He fights and wins that war. Now, what are the outcomes following these actions that occur after the sounding of each of the seven trumpets? So after the action that follows the sounding of the first trumpet, the outcome of hail and fire with blood being hurled onto the earth is that a third of the earth is on fire, a third of the trees on the earth are burned, and all the green grass is burned. The outcome following the action following the sounding of the second trumpet is that a third of the water in the sea turns to blood, a third of all the things in the sea will die, and a third of all the ships in the sea will be destroyed. The outcome of the events following the sounding of the third trumpet is that the star will fall on a third of the rivers, on the springs, third of the water becomes bitter, and many people die from drinking bitter water here on this earth. The outcome of the events following the sounding of the fourth trumpet is that a third of the day becomes dark and a third of the night becomes dark. Now, again, a distinction is made between the events that follow the sounding of the first four trumpets and their outcomes, and the events that follow the sounding of the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets and their outcomes. Woe, there's a first, a second, and a third woe. Some translations use the language terror. So there's a first terror, a second terror, and a third terror. And these terrors follow the sounding of the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets. And the outcome here on the earth, following the events that happen after the sounding of the fifth trumpet, is that the bottomless pit, once it's open, results in smoke pouring out. And from this smoke, the sunlight and the air both turn dark. What looks like locusts come from the smoke and descend on the earth. And these locusts torture the people on the earth who are without the seal of God on their foreheads. They do this for 5 months with pain, yielding from their tails that sting like scorpions. Now, interestingly, the Bible reveals that they torture the people without the seals of God on their foreheads. And in a prophecy preceding this prophecy, in the Seven Seals prophecy, we're told that those who are here on the earth in Israel at the time of the marriage supper of the Lamb, those who remain after some have been taken into captivity in Jerusalem, there will be 144,000 that remain. And in the Seven Seals prophecy in the book of Revelation, we're told exactly who those 144,000 are. 12,000 will remain from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And an angel is instructed to place the seal of God on their foreheads. And so, in the following prophecy, here in the Seven Trumpets prophecy, these locusts who are under the leadership of one called Apollyon, that's their king, and that king reigns in the bottomless pit. We're told that they are not permitted to torture those who have the seal of God on their forehead. Let's continue. The outcome following the sounding of the sixth trumpet and the events that come forth is that an angel's army has 200 million mounted troops on horses, fire, smoke, and burning sulfur that comes from the mouths of the horses results in a third of all people on earth being killed. And we're told that those who did not die refused to repent of their evil deeds. Let's talk about this for a moment. I want to go back to that text in the scripture. So at the end of this, we're told, and I'm going to that specific scripture. Thank you for your patience as I find it. So it says here, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands. that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Interestingly, the very first act of mankind, all who find and follow God's plan for salvation, is repentance. Repentance from what? Turning away from what? From sin, from evil deeds. And we see here that all of those on this present earth who are not killed by the plagues that are a part of the second woe, the plagues that follow the sounding of the sixth trumpet, fail to repent. The Bible says in the New King James Version, quote, "But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts." So if all who didn't die did not repent, that means that those who have repented were not present. If we whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are not present on the earth, that begs the question, where are we? Where are we if we are not on the earth? So that takes us to talking about where are we in the prophetic timeline. There is the marriage of the Lamb. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ, which begins with the first resurrection. And following the marriage of the Lamb is the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is the Battle of Armageddon. Now, I want to read to you from 2 Thessalonians, going to 2 Thessalonians, and I want to share what it says about his second coming. In 2 Thessalonians, we're given a description. We're given a description in Scripture. That's what I mean to say. We're given a description in Scripture of his second coming. And thank you for your patience as I pull that scripture up for us to hear. And I believe it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, beginning with verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there it is, talking about the second coming. There's, again, the marriage of the Lamb, the first resurrection. That follows the return of Jesus Christ. That's also described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And there's the marriage supper of the Lamb described here in 2 Thessalonians. Let's hear it again. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God. So when he returns as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to wage a war in righteousness. Now, before Christ fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon, there is the war that the Antichrist leads with the kings and generals in the 10-nation alliance described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And we're told in the 7 plagues prophecy that the river Euphrates will be supernaturally dried up. That's the event that follows the release of the 6th and final plague. The Euphrates River is supernaturally dried up. Why? For the purpose of giving the armies of the Antichrist, giving them the ability to come straight to the location preordained by God for the Battle of Armageddon. And here, after the sounding of the 6th trumpet, we're told that there are 4 angels bound at the Euphrates River that are turned loose to kill a third of people on the earth, and that they're not permitted to, staying here with the sounding of the 6th trumpet, I was going back to the sounding of the 5th trumpet. After these 4 angels are released, the ones that had been bound at the Euphrates River, they kill and a third of all the people on the earth are killed. Now, before they were killed, we're told that all the people on the earth failed to repent of their sins, including their thefts, their sexual immorality, and worshiping of false gods. And so the question that I posed is that if all the people on the earth are people who failed to repent, that means that these are people whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so where are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? What happens in between the sounding of, what happens in between the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper? That's the question that I am posing for us to consider. So after the first resurrection, there's the harvest. The harvest has 3 parts, as discussed earlier in February on this program. Those disembodied spirits in heaven put on their incorruptible bodies. Those who are here at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, who have found and followed God's plan for salvation, us Christians here on the earth at the time of the second coming, we are the second part of the harvest. We put on our incorruptible bodies, rising up in the air to meet those who are already rising up in the air to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. And there's a third part of the harvest, which we've discussed previously on this program, as described in the final 3 chapters of Zechariah. Those individuals who are in Israel, they are in the temple. They are defending the temple. I said they're in the temple. I meant to say they're defending the temple. They have remained in Israel. They believe that their Messiah is coming. They refuse to leave Jerusalem, despite the fact that the armies of the Antichrist have arrived. They are in Jerusalem, and we're told in Zechariah, some number of them are taken into captivity, that the women are raped, that the houses are looted, yet they do not abandon Jerusalem. They are waiting for their Messiah. They believe that he's going to come. And when it looks like they have failed, when it looks like they're down for the count, when it looks like the Antichrist is going to prevail, Jesus Christ lands here with his feet on the earth, as described in the 144,000 first fruits prophecy in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. He stands there on Mount Zion with the 144,000. Who are they? 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph. From every tribe, 12,000 remain. Jesus Christ comes and he joins them. And they see that indeed he is the Messiah. The veil is taken from their eyes. In Romans, it says, after the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, all Israel will be saved. Now, when does the fullness of the Gentiles come in? After all Gentiles who are a part of the harvest come in. Well, when is that? And let me read that scripture to you. You might say, research scientist, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard this before. Let's hear it together. Reading from Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say, I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts. Let's pause there. God has not forgotten Israel. And although Jesus Christ died on the cross for both the children of Abraham, and there are two groups, although Jesus Christ died on the cross so that all could be saved, and although those who are biological descendants of Abraham and Sarah, children of the promise, though they heard the preaching of the gospel, some had hardened hearts. Some received the word of God at the time that the disciples were here on the earth. Just like today, there are some who are children of the promise. Some who are biological descendants of Abraham and Sarah, yet many, indeed most, have had hardened hearts. Now, how long is this going to last? So we're told, listen, Christians, yes, you know the truth. Yes, you have found and followed Jesus Christ. But we're told here, I want you to understand this mystery. We're in Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. We're told, I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. So in other words, we know as believers, as individuals who have found and followed God's plan for salvation, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we are among the good fish that will not be thrown out, that we are part of the wheat that will be harvested at the time of the second coming, that we are among the sheep who follow our shepherd, Jesus Christ. But we're told that we should not feel proud about ourselves. We are not the only ones who are a part of the harvest. You say, well, research scientists, what are you talking about? Let's read on. It says, some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved. Now, people have pondered what this scripture means, and I believe God has unlocked this secret for us here at the end of the age. The harvest includes three parts, but there's one harvest. It includes three parts. It includes those who are in heaven as disembodied spirits. They will put on their new, perfected, glorified, 100% free of DNA errors body at the time of the second coming, the same individual. So when a person dies and is in Christ, that person has perfect continuity of life. The Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who die in Christ. So their corruptible bodies are here. And you say, well, what if it's been 2,000 years? How's it here? The corruptible body, even if it has corroded to the extent that it's at a molecular level imperceptible to the naked human eye, it is not imperceptible to God in his omniscience, his all-knowing, in his omnipotence, his power. He's all-powerful. He tells us that he will cause their bodies to rise from the grave, and those individuals are going to inhabit those bodies. They're going to put them on like you put on a new outfit. It's going to be permanent. They're going to dwell in those bodies forever and ever on this present earth and on the new earth to come. In addition, as they are rising up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds at the time of his second coming, those of us who are here on the earth, our bodies will also transition. They will transition. We will never, ever fall asleep, we're told. We're told in one scripture in the New Testament, I tell you a secret, not all of us will fall asleep. What does that mean? There is some number of those who are part of the harvest, those who are in Christ, those who have found and followed God's plan for salvation. We're the second part of the harvest. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, our bodies will change in the twinkling of an eye from corruptible to incorruptible. We will transition from mortality to immortality. We will put on our perfected, glorified bodies, and immediately we will rise up. We will ascend in the same way that Jesus Christ ascended after he rose from the dead. 3.5 days, he was dead for 3 days. He ascended in his perfected, glorified, incorruptible bodies to heaven. We will ascend, we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We will ascend, joining those who are rising up also to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. And so in that way, there are two parts of the harvest. And let me read that scripture so that we're on track. Going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read from the New King James Version today. And it says, thank you for your patience as I bring up that scripture. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, reading from the King James Version here, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So that's the first part of the harvest. And let's hear about the second part of the harvest. And I want to go to the New King James Version here. It says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now let's pause there. So we have two parts of the harvest. going to wrap this up, and then we're going back to the seven trumpets prophecy. We're getting this insight so we can understand what's happening in the seven trumpets prophecy. So what about what it says in Romans? All Israel will be saved. What about those 144,000? So we're trying to understand what happens in between the timing of the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper. What events take place in between the first resurrection and the Battle of Armageddon? Who is present on the earth, and who is present in heaven, and who is present under the earth at the timing between the first resurrection and the Battle of Armageddon? We have an answer. We have an answer when we look at the seven trumpets prophecy, we look at the marriage supper prophecy, we look at the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, and let me say where these prophecies are. When we look at the seven trumpets prophecy here in Revelation chapters 8 to 11, we look at the marriage supper prophecy, that's what happens during the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19, beginning with verse 6 until the end. When we look at the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5, and when we look at the seven seals prophecy, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 to Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. So we're clear on the first and second parts of the harvest, but what about this third part of the harvest? Because we're trying to understand what happens when the sounding of the sixth trumpet, which is the second terror, and it says a third of the people on the earth are killed. Well, here in Romans chapter 11, it says, some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. So when the first resurrection takes place, the full number has come to Christ. The full number has come to Christ, and all who came to Christ have transitioned from mortality to immortality and have risen up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds. Now, where do we go after we meet Jesus Christ in the clouds? And why is it that in Daniel we have a new number that's provided? We know that the wrath of Satan, the Great Tribulation, is 1,260 days. But in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 12, it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, spiritually prosperous, and to be envied is he who waits expectantly and earnestly, who endures without wavering, beyond the period of tribulation, and comes to the 1,335 days. And it says, but you, Daniel, who was now over 90 years of age, go your way until the end, for you shall rest and shall stand fast in your allotted place at the end of the days. So Daniel's told, you're going to stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. So we're all having an allotted place at the end of the days. Now, is the end of the days the 1,335 days? So we have 75 days that are unaccounted for. In the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we're told that the Great Tribulation is 42 months, 3.5 years. In the 1,260 days prophecy in Revelation chapter 12, we're told that the war waged on Israel will last for 1,260 days. So it's happening simultaneously. There's only one great tribulation, but war is waged against Israel, inspired by Satan, and war is waged against the saints, inspired by Satan. The Antichrist, in tandem with the false prophet, accomplishes the mission of Satan, but it's for only a finite period, as described in Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 13. So the question I'm asking us to consider is, what happens in these 75 days? And where are we, those who have participated in the first resurrection, where are we for those 75 days? Now, if Daniel takes his allotted place at the end of the days, it follows that every person in Christ takes his or her place at the end of days. But we're not there just yet. We're not there just yet. So what about these 144,000? It says, and so all Israel will be saved. After the sounding of the fifth trumpet, they were not permitted, these locusts who were under the leadership of a satanic king, a king from the bottomless pit, they're allowed to torture people on the earth, but only those people without the seal of God on their foreheads. And then after the sounding of the sixth trumpet, people die, a third of the people on the earth. The people who survive, the two-thirds who survive, fail to repent. Well, every believer has repented. So that leads me to believe that we're not here on the earth. And so when Jesus Christ ascended to the clouds the last time, he kept going until he reached heaven. Heaven is a physical location. Hades is a physical location. The earth is a physical location. So where do humans exist? On this present earth and in heaven as disembodied spirits for those who are in Christ, and in Hades as disembodied spirits for those who rejected Christ. They're awaiting the second resurrection. They're awaiting the great white throne judgment described in the dead judged prophecy in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. All of us who participate in the resurrection, we will have bodies just like the body of Jesus Christ. And he dwelled on this present earth in his perfected, glorified, incorruptible body. And now he dwells in heaven at the right hand of the Father in that same perfected, glorified, incorruptible body. Is it the case that we, in our perfected, glorified, incorruptible bodies, that we will dwell in heaven for some number of hours or perhaps even days or weeks, while Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven fight and win the battle of Armageddon? I'm not sure. But maybe. Clearly, when we look at the book of Revelation, it's clear that a third of mankind dies after the sounding of the sixth trumpet. And the two-thirds that didn't die failed to repent. Every truth seeker who has found and followed Jesus Christ repented. So if a human being is not here on the earth, there are only two other locations where that human being can be. That human being can be in heaven, or the human being can be in Hades. Three locations for all humans at this point in time. The present earth, Hades, or heaven. Three real physical locations. Only on the earth are we three in one. In heaven, two in one, soul and spirit. In Hades, two in one, soul and spirit. On the earth, three in one, body, spirit, and soul. But after the marriage of the Lamb, after the first resurrection, all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in other words, the sheep, the wheat that participate in the first resurrection, in the marriage of the Lamb, we transition to immortality. Now, after that, Jesus Christ, after the marriage of the Lamb, he comes to the earth to wage war, as described in Revelation 19, beginning with verse 6, to wage war against the armies of the Antichrist with the armies of heaven. And he fights and wins that war. And at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars, he destroys two of the five enemies of God, the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now, these 144,000, they have the seal of God placed on their foreheads. Let's hear that. It's in the Seven Seals prophecy. It's in the Seven Seals prophecy in the book of Revelation. And we're told here in the Seven Trumpets prophecy that that they are only allowed to torture those who don't have the seal of God on their forehead. Let's hear it. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, it says, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, "After this I saw four angels stationed at the four corners of the earth, firmly holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind should blow on the earth or sea or upon any tree. Then I saw a second angel coming up from the east, the rising of the sun, and carrying the seal of the living God. And with a loud voice, he called out to the four angels who had been given authority and power to injure earth and sea, saying, 'Harm neither the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the bondservants of our God upon their foreheads.' And then I heard how many were sealed, marked out of every tribe of the sons of Israel. There were 144,000. 12,000 were sealed, marked out of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 of the tribe of Benjamin." So we know who has the seal of God placed on their forehead. Now let's get into the timing. So that's mentioned in the Seven Seals prophecy as one of many things that are mentioned. It's not the focus of that prophecy. The focus of the 144,000 is in their own prophecy. In Revelation 14, verses 1 to 5, it says, "Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 men who had his name and his father's name inscribed on their foreheads." And it goes on. I'm going to pause there. So Jesus Christ is standing in Israel, in Jerusalem, on Mount Zion. And the 144,000 men are there. Why are they there? They're there because they remain. They are the remnant who will be saved. They are the last part of the harvest. As described in the last three chapters of Zechariah, although they fail to find and follow God's plan for salvation, before this time, in God's mercy, as prophesied in the Bible, he allows them to be saved. It says right here in Romans, "Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ, and so all Israel will be saved." So how are they saved? That seal of God is placed on their forehead. They're the third part of the harvest. And Jesus Christ fights and wins the battle of Armageddon on their behalf. He joins them in his incorruptible physical body on the earth. Now, let's tie this into the seven trumpets prophecy. Why have we looked at all of that? Why do we need to consider that? After the sounding of the fifth trumpet, it says, they were only permitted to torture those people without the seal of God on their foreheads. So who has the seal of God on their foreheads? Those who are a part of the harvest. Those who are the third and final part of the harvest. All Israel, all who are in the physical location where the third temple exists in Israel, those who are there at the return of Jesus Christ, those who were told in Zechariah who will mourn as if the mourning for the death of a first son, when they realize, when the veil is ripped from their eyes and they realize that Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah, and in his mercy, they will be included in the harvest. They are the final part of the harvest. The seal of God, the mark of God, is placed on their forehead. Jesus Christ joins them in his physical form. And we're going to have to pause there for now. I want to end with this. There is a timing in between the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper. And we're going to be looking at Scripture, believing God to unlock those secrets so that we understand the mystery of the 1,000, not only the 1,260 days, but of the 75 days also. What happens in between the 1,260 and 1,335 days? When you will stand in your allotted place at the end of days alongside Daniel, alongside Ruth, alongside Abraham and Joseph and Sarah, and maybe your grandmother or your father or your daughter or your niece or nephew, all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, at the sounding of the seventh trumpet, it covers a long span of time. I want to say briefly, it's after Jesus Christ has fought and won the battle of Armageddon. How do we know that? Because it says the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. The time of his wrath has come. And then it says it's time to judge the dead. Well, the dead aren't judged until 1,000 years after Jesus Christ has ruled and reigned on the earth. So after the sounding of the seventh trumpet, we have a description of events that span many years, at least 1,000 years. And we also have the timing of the dead judged prophecy, because it says it's time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth. Who's that? Who's that? The Antichrist, the false prophet, Satan, and all who have followed Satan. I want to thank you for being with me and with us. We're going to continue on Sunday and on Thursday. Every Sunday and every Thursday right here on PGN, we'll have a live internet broadcast. And in February of 2023, we'll be focusing on the seven trumpets prophecy. In March, we'll go to the next statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. In April, then to the next one, until we get to the final, the 12th statement of prophecy, the new earth prophecy, in December of this year. So I look forward to you being with me and with us next time. Until next time, truth seeker, I urge you, according to Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God, and he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.